You know who loves to send me messages and notifications more than anyone else? It's the ESPN app. Did you think that was an ad for half a second? No, this is our second Goosebumps episode. This one, also from July of 92, same month that the first one came out. This is called Stay Out of the Basement. And on Hoopla, God bless the local library, I don't have the original covers. That's what I was trying to say. On Hoopla, they have like the re-release from I think the early 2000s, maybe 2010s. But this version has a big green claw, sort of like a Witch of the West. By the way, I am concerned about the new Wicked book coming out. I can't blame Gregory Maguire for it because get that money, sir, wherever you can. I get it. But just like that book is going to be trauma. That book is going to be trauma beginning to end. Although I am interested, I hope they do a lot about the missionary work that her family does and a lot more about Quadling Country, because I think with all the time that has passed, you know, he'll be like, the Quadlings in Maguire's telling of it are like a stand-in in my reading for Native Americans. So I think that like he'll be able to bring a lot more like nuance to it than he could, you know, in the 90s and the aughts. So it's the if you're still here, God bless you. It's this green hand reaching around a door, and there's all these tendrils of plants. It kind of reminds me of an image in The Mysteries of Harris Burdick, which I did an episode with Delaney Searcy that is really, really fun, and in the show notes, because that's a picture book. You can see all of those images in a link, but it really reminds me of that. There's just something so sinister about nature coming to life, because it is everywhere and is all around you. And I think even if you don't think this consciously, I think there's a degree of like, yeah, we deserve it. Like, obviously you want to fight for survival, but you are like, they have a point. They do have a point. Also, I just want to say, in case you don't know this, one of the best little tiny tidbits of knowledge that I got in film school, I also have a minor in cinema studies. I would have done a double major, but they only had like a minor for undergrads and a master's. And I'm not getting a master's. I've spent enough time in school. I'm not my mother or my grandfather. But he said there's this Guillermo del Toro quote that horror is the absence of something normal or the presence of something abnormal. And I just think that's like a very helpful little idea to keep in your pocket. Okay, should we read page one? No. Okay, chapter one. Hey, Dad, catch! Casey tossed the frisbee across the smooth green lawn. Casey's dad made a face, squinting into the sun. I actually had a brief love of frisbee in high school. We would like finish our AP tests, and instead of like having normal classes, we would just go out in this big field and play frisbee. And that was really nice because I was not necessarily great at throwing or catching, but I was like, I loved in high school, like, being the person who, like, wouldn't do the things other people would do. Like, I loved any time people were like, oh my god, there's a bug on the floor. I loved being like, let me get it. Let me stop. So in playing frisbee, like, I would dive for it. I would end up rolling on the ground. And that's what I love about LeBron James. And the, like, I think that is what is making, like, with Finney Smith, with Gabe Vincent, with Vanderbilt, you know, all of the supporting cast of the Lakers. I think when they are at their best, like, what is setting that team apart is they absolutely never give up. Nobody cares, Aaron. Let's finish reading this first page. Not today. I'm busy, Dr. Brewer said, and abruptly turned and loped into the house. The screen door slammed behind him. I don't like slamming things. It makes me anxious. If you slam something, it's my fault, you know? You're trying to tell me something. Casey brushed his straight blonde hair back off his forehead. What's his problem? He called to Margaret, his sister, who had watched the whole scene from the side of the Redwood garage. You know, Margaret said quietly. She wiped her hands on the legs of her jeans and held them both up, inviting a toss. I'll play frisbee with you for a little while. By the way, frisbee is a brand name, so capital F. Okay, Casey said without enthusiasm. He walked over to retrieve the frisbee from under the hedge. Margaret moved closer. She felt sorry for Casey. Is Margaret older? Because remember, that was the dynamic in the previous book. The sister was 12 and the brother was 11. She felt sorry for Casey. He and their dad were really close, always playing ball or frisbee or video games together. This is 1992, remember? But Dr. Brewer didn't seem to have time for that anymore. That hurts. That hurts. The first book is written in first person. The second is written in third person. Very interesting. And also, just while we're discussing first person, third person and stuff, there is one of my favorite books of all time. It's called Trouble the Saints by Elia Don Johnson. And that book is told, I think, in first person for like the first half and then is in third person for the second half. Really, really cool book. I really encourage you to check it out. So we're still on page two, right? And it's unclear if they just moved here. I don't know if she's having a moment of like, gosh, California's wild. God, my cat does not like when I do this. She says, I want to be around you when you're silent. I mean, she knows what she wants. So this is why I started the recording again. Margaret, the sister, catches the frisbee really cool. And her brother goes, oh, show off. And then Margaret says, you're the hot dog in the family. And then he says, you're the dork. What is the insult behind a hot dog? A food of the people? And you know, I doubt we'll understand it, because I was just thinking, I'm editing Welcome to the Dead House, which is the first book in the series. And there's a repeating thing in it of like, she keeps coming into her bedroom in the haunted house and there's just like clothes thrown everywhere. There's so much of just like, and there was a random pile of clothes where she's like, I think it's a person in our house. And then she steps forward and it's a pile of clothes. That never got explained. Robert Lawrence Stein. Just kidding. Love to you. The brother in this book, his name is Casey, is also 11. Oh my god, and I already saw something about fat. People in her family jokingly called her fat so because she was so thin. She was also tall like her father, but she had her mother's straight brown hair, brown eyes, and dark coloring. I love that in his own lab at home, the dad is wearing a lab coat all the time. And a hallmark of what I find just to be like young adult books in general is describing clothing. So Mr. Brewer comes up from the basement. He takes off his stained lab coat. It is stained with his own blood, among other things, revealing tan slacks and a bright yellow t-shirt, and tossed the lab coat onto the banister. Even though it was 2 weeks later, his right hand, the hand that had been bleeding, was still heavily bandaged. Their friend Diane is over. The child's friend. Mom has just gone to the airport to visit her sister in the hospital, which is fun because the neighbor girl is like, have fun in Tucson. And Casey, the brother, is like, her sister's in the hospital. Shut up. That is not fun. But then this is the detail. Diane jumped up from the chrome and white leather couch. I did not know that leather could be chrome. A chrome couch feels like it will hurt. I know it's leather. I know it's not actually chrome, but still. Diane dares Margaret to go into the basement to like sneak around her father's experiments. I hate people who dared me. I hate dares. I hate pranks. I was a very serious child and I don't like to be messed with. Although a surprise party, you know, I'm not going to rule it out. I'd like to have one and then, you know, make an opinion. I'm worried that, like, in doing this, I'm gonna discover that all of the books are pretty similar and that might, like, turn me off to the series, but it's kind of already being that so far. So they go down into the lab, they start touching stuff even though they're not supposed to touch stuff. They find some, like, electrical box that's, like, hooked up to different plants. They discover that the plants are breathing, which, I mean, they already do, but I get it. And then the brother, Casey, gets, like, electrocuted when he's touching this thing, and then he's like, gotcha! As we know, I hate pranks. Life is confusing enough, okay? I don't need misinformation. I need you to tell me exactly what you're feeling, exactly when it happens. I need clarity. Thank you. Did you have a creepy basement growing up? I always really loved the basement. And I know, you know, it depend, like, not everybody had a basement based on where you were. But I did, and I loved the basement. But I moved when I was
7, and the house that we lived in the first time, like, when I was born, the stairs had, like, gaps between them. And so I tried to watch E.T. I did not like it. I did not like that little booger. And I somehow got it in my head. Like, I would turn the lights off in the basement and then run up the stairs as fast as I could because E.T. was gonna stick his little booger arms through the gaps in the stairs and yank me down and, like, I don't know, kill me or eat me or something. But then we moved to our new house and they had decent stairs. Those stairs just don't make sense to me. Like, that is, it's a hazard waiting to happen. Who thought that was a good idea? And there was a little section under the stairs in the basement in the laundry room. And I would like to hang out in there sometimes. But then we just filled it with, you know, bull crap. And it's still full of that. So what's interesting is that the children seem to be equally afraid of the breathing, moving plants. Casey forgets his t-shirt down there. He takes off the t-shirt down there because it's so hot. At that point, the friend is like, wow, hot bod. Barf, disgusting. But then they both leave and he realizes he left his shirt down there. See, I think R.L. Stine is just like really stretching these things out. But I mean, they're only 100 pages, so, you know. But he has to go back down and there's his t-shirt and Dad is like in the driveway talking to a neighbor. He's gonna get there any second. What I'm trying to say is these kids seem to be equally afraid of the mutant plants and their father's anger. Interesting. We gotta ground the crazy in the real. And I respect that. So what you need to know from chapter 7, first off, adding to Dad's weird behavior, he's wearing a Dodgers cap. He's wearing a Dodgers cap all the time. Second thing is, you know that R.L. Stine is really good at cliffhanger chapter endings, right? This one, she goes into the kitchen and she sees her dad who, like, hasn't eaten with them in a long time. He's, like, eating out of this bag and just shoving food into his mouth. And then he throws it away and she goes to look at the bag. And let me read it to you. Her father, she saw, had been devouring, italics, plant food. Which is, yeah, kind of scary, but mostly just funny. Dad's just shoveling dirt.
Do you ever, like, accidentally huff Sharpie when you're redacting documents? Documents being your own journal entries? Anyway, I think these are fun.
Good morning, fellow babies. Let me read you the end of chapter 8. The context is Margaret and Casey have been playing Frisbee with Diane, who is 11, fine, but maybe 12, but bitch. And Diane was saying, like, my dad says your dad was fired because if an experiment gone wrong, and there's a lot of time spent on, like, Margaret doesn't like that Diana's calling him a mad scientist. Fine. But they go home. Dr. Brewer is outside looking at the roses. Crazy that he is not in the basement. Casey, trying to connect with his dad in the ways they used to, throws a Frisbee to his father. I'll read you the last couple paragraphs. Dr. Brewer turned around a little too slowly. The Frisbee glanced off his head, knocking the Dodgers cap off. They are in, like, middle to northern California, by the way. His mouth opened wide in surprise. He raised his hands to cover his head, but it was too late. Margaret and Casey both shrieked in surprise as they saw his head. At first, Margaret thought her father's hair had turned green, but then she clearly saw that it wasn't hair on his scalp. His hair was gone. It had all fallen out. At this point, I was like, this man is a chia pet. He's going to have grass all over his head, moss. I was so excited. However, one more sentence. In place of hair, Dr. Brewer had bright green leaves sprouting from his head. I just hope that the leaves are, like, flat so they look like hair. You know, I hope there's, like, no twigs. Maybe, like, one little twig. But I hope that it's not, like, sprouting from the top like a little, like the hats with a little propeller. I hope it doesn't look like that. But that should have been the cover, you know? Oh, okay, we were on page 29 of 86. Dad says he is trying to build a new kind of plant. He's explaining GMOs, which, at least in fifth grade, and maybe it was just my science teacher, she was like, GMOs are the worst thing in the world. Genetically modified organism. And he says, I'm trying to build a plant that is part animal. I'm trying to do it by breaking them down electronically. I have two glass booths connected by a powerful electron generator. Has anyone seen The Fly? That didn't go so well for Jeff Goldblum. I am finding it really interesting in these moments of how scared Margaret is of her father. And like, this is a thing we've seen in a lot of the podcast. Like, it is really nice to give kids a framework to talk about things that they're feeling. And it's not uncommon for kids to be scared of one or both parents, to feel unsafe in their own home. I think the thing about these books is like, well, wouldn't it be better if, you know, the dad's hiding so much and he's keeping secrets and he's really emotionally volatile and she's scared that he might like come for her or something. Come for, not comfort. Ironic. And I think it's just nice to be like, it's sort of nice for kids to give them the opportunity to be like, you know what, dad isn't an alcoholic. He's just a mad scientist growing a crazy plant. Like, what if dad isn't ignoring all of us because of the emotional weight of being laid off or fired from his job? He's making a special kind of plant, you know? I just think that's nice. But the big thing with this whole book is like, oh God, I just want to reread Annihilation. And I'm also switching back between reading this book and reading Fablehaven by Brandon Mull for an upcoming episode. And there's the like dynamics between the kids are almost identical. So it's like, sometimes I'll be like, wait a minute, did this happen in this book or that other book? Like, whose house has a pool? Oh, and dad's blood is green. Got it. So she goes looking for her dad in the morning and she can't find him. So she goes into the parents' room. Remember, mom is away with her sick sister. And Margaret moves the sheet and the bed is full of dirt and insects and earthworms. And here's what I would have loved to see. I would have loved to see one giant earthworm in the bed. Just consider it. Just think on that. Just mull that over. We're all adults here, we all probably know this, but Casey successfully picks a lock with a paperclip. That is not the case, man. You need at least two tools, okay? One needs to maintain tension, and the other one needs to work the pins, okay? My boyfriend went through a lock-picking phase. He might be offended by saying phase. I just don't think he's worked on it in a little bit. But he carries the tools around in his phone case. It's very helpful. But always remember the cardinal rule of lock-picking. Never pick your own door locks, okay? Happened to me once. So Mr. Martinez, Dr. Brewer's old boss, comes to visit. He says, I want to see what's in the basement. Dr. Brewer takes him down. I think the next day, Dr. Brewer's like, I gotta go to the neighbors to help him fix a sink or something. Margaret and Casey are like, it's finally our chance. Let's go down there. And they find Mr. Martinez's clothes from yesterday, bundled up and shoved under a table.
Margaret and Casey are, it's chapter 18. We are on page 54 out of 86. Margaret and Casey are back in the basement. I don't remember their excuse this time. The tall leafy plant appeared to have a green human arm descending from its stalk. Margaret's eyes darted around the closet. To her horror, she realized that several plants seemed to have human features. Green arms, a yellow hand with three fingers poking from it, two stumpy legs where the stem should be. She and her brother both cried out when they saw the plant with the face. Inside a cluster of broad leaves, there appeared to grow a round green tomato, but the tomato had a human-shaped nose and an open mouth from which it repeatedly uttered the most mournful sighs and groans. Another plant, a short plant with clusters of broad oval leaves, had two green, nearly human faces partly hidden by the leaves, both wailing through open mouths. The agony that the plants are in is the thing that I think makes it the scariest. What do you think? I'm just going to keep... Chapter 18, guys, is apparently where it's at. Margaret sees feet in the back and is like, I have to go. We have to save whoever belongs to these feet. And she plunged through the plants to the back of the closet. Dad, she cried. Her father was lying on the floor, his hands and feet tied tightly with plant tendrils, his mouth gagged by a wide strip of elastic tape. Elastic tape. Casey tries to stop her. Margaret's like, let go of me. What's wrong with you? It's Dad. And Casey says, it can't be Dad. Dad is at the airport, remember? Behind them, the plants seem to be moaning in unison, a terrifying chorus. I've got to untie him, let go of me. No, Casey insisted, look at his head. He was bareheaded, no doctor's cap, and he had tufts of green leaves growing where his hair should be. We've already seen that, Margaret snapped. It's a side effect, remember? They agree that Margaret will just take the tape off his mouth. He won't untie him. Dad says he's been locked in there for days. It's a plant copy of me. Please, there's no time to explain. Just untie me, quick. The father we've been living with, he's a plant? Damn, Robert. That's a good one. Oh, Mr. Martinez is in here too? That was me asking that, sorry. Now Dad has an axe. Uh-oh. Okay, this is difficult to explain. Margaret and Casey have just untied Dr. Brewer with no baseball cap, who's in the basement, right? Then from upstairs comes in Dr. Brewer with the Dodgers cap and Mrs. Brewer. And they're like, you're Dad, I'm not Dad, you're Dad. He's not your dad, I am. And the mom says, kids, what have you done? Which is weird that mom suddenly is like, two husbands? Must be my kid's fault. Can't be the other adult.
So in an attempt to determine which one is her real father, she stabs one. Which makes sense. I understand her line of logic. It's that the dad that's been upstairs has green blood. So let's see, you know, if who has green blood here and who doesn't. Ironically enough, though, green blood, if I haven't mentioned this already, is a term that is used within the Girl Scout community to describe people who are lifetime members and very avid or active members. You cut them to their core and they bleed green. Yeah. So she stabs the dad who had been tied up in the basement, who had called her princess, which I may not have told you earlier is a nickname that her father used to use, you know, before he got fired, but hasn't since. So the one that was tied up bleeds red, so she gives that one the axe, and then the capless, no cap, Dr. Brewer moved quickly. He picked up the axe, took, this is the red one, took up three steps, pulled the axe back, and swung with all his might. The Dr. Brewer in the cap opened his mouth wide and uttered a hushed cry of alarm. The cry was choked off as the axe cut easily through his body, slicing him in two. I really want to know more about, like, where he got sliced, you know? A thick green liquid oozed from the wound. And as the man fell, his mouth locking open in disbelief and horror, Margaret could see that his body was actually a stem. He had no bones, no human organs. The body thudded to the floor. Green liquid puddled around it. So they get Mr. Martinez out, and they all have a nice dinner. Mind you, there's still 25 pages left of this book, and I don't think there's a behind the screams section, but I'm not sure. I was working on a super plant, he said, trying to electronically make a new plant using DNA elements from other plants. Then I accidentally cut my hand on a slide. I didn't realize it, but some of my blood got mixed in with the plant molecules I was using. Wear gloves, brother. Maybe he was. When I turned on the machine, my molecules got mixed in with plant molecules. I ended up with something that was part human, part plant. That's gross, Casey exclaimed. Well, I'm a scientist, Dr. Brewer replied, so I didn't think it was gross. I thought it was pretty exciting. Margaret says, those plants with faces. He says, yes, those were things I made by inserting human materials into plant materials. I kept putting them in the supply closet. I got carried away. I didn't know how far I could go, how human I could make the plants. I could see that my creations were unhappy, suffering, but I couldn't stop. It was too exciting. Ah!
By the end of the week, most of the plants had been destroyed. A giant pile of leaves, roots, and stalks were burned in a bonfire that lasted for hours. A few tiny plants had been transplanted outside. All of the equipment had been dismantled and trucked to the university. On Saturday, all four brewers went to select a pool table for the new basement rec room. On Sunday, Margaret found herself standing in back by the garden, staring up at the golden hills. "It's so peaceful now," she thought happily. "So peaceful here, and so beautiful." The smile faded from her face when she heard the whisper at her feet. "Margaret!" She looked down to see a small yellow flower nudging her ankle. "Margaret!" the flower whispered. "Help me! Please help me! I'm your father! Really, I'm your father! I'm your real father!" End of book two. There is a recipe to make a spooky lantern out of a green pepper.
Okay.